Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there, and we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for Granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film Taking Hugh for Granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brits for its acclaim? I'm Digory Waite and I'm joined as always by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing great, Diggs. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. How was your Christmas?
It was excellent. Yeah, it was... Very, very nice. I mean, the best thing about Christmas this year was the dream I had last night, which was about Hugh Grant. That's the best.
That is a Christmas present. That a belated Christmas present, but it's a Christmas present nonetheless. You'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, should I tell you about the dream?
Of course. Yes, please.
It was honestly like the most vivid dream I've had in a while. I dreamt that basically Hugh had invited us round his house.
Wow.
And I don't know why he'd invited us around, but we'd convinced him that, you know, we had a bit of a sales pitch, basically, like, let me tell you about the podcast. Like, we're real people. We're serious. We're not just like a pair of jokers. You know, we went there. His wife was there. She was lovely. He gave us a tour of his house. It felt like a very normal house. It didn't feel like a celebrity house. They were just like, they had the football on. The mince pies were out.
Yes.
And then it was a very kind of short and snappy meeting because I kind of felt that Hugh wanted to get away to his family. Mm. And at the end...
It sounds like real life right now.
I know.
Nothing about this sounds weird.
And I was just like surprised by how laid back and chill Hugh was. And, you know, I was in the sales pitch. I was kind of like, look, Hugh, I know you don't like the media, but could we convince you to get on the podcast? And I remember him like scrunching up his face. And it sort of felt like this is the moment we've all been waiting for. And I thought he was going to say no. And then he said, maybe. And then he said, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yes.
And then I basically woke up. So it was an epic dream. But then I woke up and I was like, damn, that wasn't real. You know, one of those where you like wish it was real and then it didn't happen. So anyway, that was a nice, you know, a happy dream for me.
Oh, I love that. Oh, it's just a shame. Yeah, it's a shame that it wasn't real life. Well, hopefully it's more of a premonition and perhaps this is something to come.
Exactly.
Maybe it's an act of divination and you're going to see into the future and we're going to actually live out this dream.
That'd
be amazing.
So.
I hope so too. I imagine some of our listeners were hoping for a bit more sex in the dream. I know I certainly was. So it's a shame that didn't happen.
I'm afraid there wasn't any of that, Diggs.
I guess that put a full stop on your Christmas then. And what a lovely way to end it. And now we look on to the new year. And we look back on 2021. For you, Oscar, how's 2021 been?
Oh, that's a big question. I feel like it was going pretty well until the last few weeks. I feel like that's probably what everyone feels like. You know, I got to do some fun stuff. Work's been going well. The podcast has gone from strength to strength.
You know.
Got to see you, hang out with you.
Yeah, that was great.
But the last few weeks have kind of felt like square one. I don't know. How about you? Yeah. How have you felt 2021 has been?
I think in terms of the podcast, you know, I look back over 2021 and I think, wow, you know, we've had some good fun. So much like we did last year, we think today we take you back to some of our favorite moments from the podcast over this year. And there's been a few, but I've also taken a look at some of our statistics. Take a look at what's going on. But essentially, it's like our Spotify Wrapped, you know. So we did.
I love how they give that to you. Like, they actually give you a Spotify Wrap.
Yeah, on the website. Exactly, for the podcasters. So we did eight. I worked this out because I had to add on a few more because we've released a few more episodes after our podcaster Wrapped thing. But 804 minutes across 28 episodes, and that's 13 hours and 24 minutes. And there will be people listening who will have heard every single minute of that, which I think is very, very cool. But also, my God, you must love Hugh Grant. You missed it every minute. 36% of you are from the UK. Big up the UK if you're listening. 34% are from the United States. And the thing is, with the UK, and 4% are from Canada. With the UK and Canada, I kind of feel like we cover those bases. And that makes sense why people listen from there. The 34% of you from the United States, you're all just random people, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Which is quite exciting.
And I was looking at our stats recently as well, and I believe that we have had listeners in 48 out of 50 states as well.
Oh, not bad. What are we missing out on?
I can't remember what the two states were. I think one of them might be Alaska. So if someone would like to go to Alaska, listen to the podcast and then come back, or maybe we should just do a shout out on Twitter, like, hello, Alaskans.
Yeah, does that work? I mean, they're so far away, I guess. Oh, I imagine the other one's Hawaii then. It's just that are really far out.
I think we might have Hawaii.
Really? That's a scalp, that. That's a huge get.
Yeah, that is a huge get. I mean, should I have a quick look?
Let's have a quick look.
See if we can work it out.
We also have 4% of our listenership from Australia. Again, that makes sense, I guess. I don't have anyone there, but they're English speaking. Then 4% from Germany. But I don't know. I sometimes find it baffling when some of our listenership is from places that don't speak English as their first language. But what I will say about Germans is that every German I've met has had better English than me. And there was a couple of guys I met when I was traveling in particular, and they were having this really nuanced debate about the grammar of a particular sentence. And I couldn't understand what the hell they were talking about. And I was saying to them, I was like, listen, guys, the fact you were able to have this debate shows you that you don't need to think about this sort of thing anymore. I don't know the answer. You, like, you know, that sort of thing. And they were going, oh, no, we have a rudimentary understanding of the English vernacular. Oh, we have so much work to do. I was like, are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Rudimentary. That's insane. It always makes me feel awful. But to all you Germans out there listening, thank you very much. We appreciate you as well.
So I can't work out. I'm not quick enough here on my US states to work out which one we're missing, but I can tell you that we do have a listeners in Hawaii.
Huge.
And that the top three states, do you want to take a guess?
I know California's got to be.
Yeah, California is 14%.
Yeah, we're quite a hippie, left-leaning podcast.
You know, it's the kind of podcast you listen to when you're chilling on a beach in San Diego.
Exactly. You're at we're at Venice Beach and you're just chilling out. You just bought some weed illegally. You're just chilling out, having a good time, rolling on some roller skates perhaps, and listening to Taking You For Granted. Also, California, I just worked out, I think is the biggest in terms of population. So that just makes sense. I'm going to go next with Texas. Why have surely not.
Texas, to be fair, is in the top five. It's fifth, but
huge.
6% of Texans. Like, appreciate that.
Yeah, that is huge. Oh God, what amazing voices. New York,
yes, is second with 11%, and the third place is Virginia with 10.
Oh wow, okay. So there Virginia. We go. Big up. Love you guys. Thank you very much for everything. And we've got Hawaii as well, but we are missing Alaska, you'd say.
Yes, I believe so. So any Alaskans out there or anyone who wants to share the podcast with an Alaskan,
please do.
Yes.
Make that happen. Absolutely. Well, this is another thing as well. 56% of our audience are aged between 18 and 27.
We're the youth.
Yeah, exactly. It makes people quite young and hip. And I'm pretty sure a further 17% of our listenership are aged between 0 and 17. So I just like the idea that we've got like little babies just being like, oh, new episode Taking You For Granted. Wicked. I'll listen to that. At age 0. But that's quite fun.
It really makes me think, Diggs, that we should transition into the TikTok world. I think we are missing out in Hugh Talk. Hugh Talk is where is at.
I saw another great dance the other day. Someone had done, they'd redone the Love Actually dance, and she was great, and she'd done a brilliant job on TikTok, and I just thought, maybe we've got to get into this space. But that, speaking of that, actually, and now we can start getting into some of our favourite moments of 2021, because it's definitely one of mine, is 70% of you listening right now are female. 70%. It also says 26% male, 4% non-binary. Big up. And less than 1% didn't specify. But 70% of our listeners are female. And I think we've always been baffled by this, because we're just two dudes talking about another dude. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but I guess I'm not complaining.
Absolutely not. But I just think it's funny, because maybe it's because, you know, Hugh Grant is obviously a bit of a heartthrob for a lot of women out there. So I think we've just naturally, we have a lot in common with a lot of these ladies. But we did try and rectify this at the beginning of the year. We had a very special guest on, Jessica Waite, who had heard our podcast all those yonkies ago. We did a review of Notting Hill, and my sister Jessica wasn't very happy about it. We got her on the podcast to talk about that, and she sort of did a defense of the film and also a sort of takedown of us and our review. Let's have a listen. We have a very special guest. It's Jessica Waite. Jessica, how the hell are you doing today?
Oh, I'm delighted to be with my bro and my bro's mate on the best podcast of all time.
Oh, come on. What you mentioned the pod, so you've listened to the pod before?
At least once.
That's good. I can confirm that as well. And Jessica, what is your history then, deeper history with Notting Hill in particular?
Notting Hill, it's hard to know where to start. I fell in love with it as a young teen, I'd say a preteen, and it's been there for me ever since. It's been the Ben and Jerry's, you know, that you need when you're sad in a breakup, or, you know, sort of. But also, like, it's, you know, a film that you want to watch on a lazy Sunday afternoon, or if you're like, oh, I need to watch something to go to sleep. I honestly must have seen that film 50 times. So I absolutely love it. Did you know that, Diggs? I've seen it that many times.
I am surprised, because you're not like a massive film fan. So I'm surprised in that way, but I'm not surprised
Don't
in the sense
give
that, like.
That away.
Makes Sorry.
It seems so lame.
I'll cut that.
It's like, but I don't watch any films, only Notting Hill.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. Like, I'm not surprised in the fact that it is such comfort watching for loads of people. And I'm not surprised you love it, because people who listen to this pod regularly will know that we have already reviewed Notting Hill. And when, Jessica, you listened to our review of Notting Hill, you weren't so pleased. You sent me a voice memo. Let me just play this first one of Jess's initial reaction to just the first little bit of listening to our review.
So we're driving to see Matt's family this weekend, so we decided to have Valentine's Boxing Day podcast listen. We haven't got very far through. We just listened to the synopsis, which was very good. And now we've just started listening. We honestly have not listened to very far, but I'm already outraged that Oscar... We haven't even got to what you think, Diggs, but that Oscar doesn't like Notting Hill.
Oh, dear. And already I was thought to myself, hang on, well, Jess likes this film. She's already annoyed. And I thought this idea, I was like, we can have her on and she can debate us as to why it was good. So I sent her that in a voice memo back. But she'd listened to the rest of the review by then, and things had escalated.
Thanks for the replies, Diggs. We listened to it all now, so we haven't had any spoilers. I have to sound furious. I was shaking my fist. I called Oscar a fuck while we were listening, didn't I, Matt?
You certainly did.
Yeah,
I'm
pissed. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you for why. The first hour of Notting Hill is the bit I like, and when it kicks off with the press, I switch it off. So fuck you all, and I'll no longer be listening.
There you go. So the first and last day that you listen to the pod. Jess, do you remember sending those voice memos?
I remember the rage I felt. Because I was driving as well, and it was dangerous. Like, Oscar, that was dangerous that you did that.
I mean, this is not the first time that we've had people say that my reaction has nearly made them crash their car. My reaction to Sense and Sensibility as well nearly made my godmother crash her car in the Dartford Tunnel. So this is the second one. I'm sorry about that. I'm putting drivers across the world at risk.
need a trigger warning for drivers, don't you?
Exactly. We should put at the beginning of every episode, not the music, but instead just being like, warning. If you are in a car right now, get out of the car. Take the keys out of the ignition and get out of the car. Get far away. I love that episode so much. It's so good. And it was great because genuinely, we went on, and thing is, I would implore everyone to go back and listen to it, because we said about having female representation on the podcast, and at the end of the podcast, we talked about this, and you'll hear in just a second, we talk about how we really did appreciate having Jess on, because I think there was stuff genuinely that she said that we probably hadn't thought of, just because we're not coming at it perhaps from the same angles. And we really did appreciate that. So we really thought we wanted to include that bit in of us saying that. So let's have a listen of us genuinely saying to Jess, thank you very much for coming on and giving us that alternate view. We were saying off air, on this podcast, the majority of our listenership are female, are women, or female, at least they've clicked that box on wherever they're streaming on, female. And it's just two guys talking about another guy, you know, each week. So it is really nice to have a female's perspective.
Well, I do think that you guys are both very emotionally intelligent guys, and like most of the people who are listening to this podcast would be able to tell that from the way that you talk about films and characters and things like that. So it probably doesn't occur to you that so many men are shit in that regard.
Indeed. However, I've just trapped you, because this is exactly what you did not say on the original voice memo. Let's have a listen.
Two boys reviewing a rom-com and then being annoyed that the storyline seems unrealistic and that the characters don't know each other well enough to fancy each other is like, duh. Do you know what I mean?
That's very sexist. Boys can review rom-coms.
Well, they can't, because they've got it wrong.
That's brilliant.
That is quality.
So fair as well.
But as we know, you were enraged, you were angry in the car, you were, you know, you were fist pumping, you were not very happy. So that's probably why you let your emotions get the better of you.
But it is fair enough though, because we need more representation in the podcast. So really glad that we're getting this perspective here.
Yay!
Finally. Although this will be, it'll be once a year, max.
I love that it's taken me to call you a fuck for you to let a girl on the podcast.
Yeah. Exactly.
Apologies.
Fabulous stuff. So that's how we kicked off the year. But speaking again about the year in general, Oscar, 2021, what's it been like for Hugh Grant?
Well, we discussed this, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, that it was relatively quiet. In fact, a barren, featureless wasteland is how we described it a couple of weeks ago. But I mean, you know, while the world has been going sideways in the last month or so, Hugh Grant's world has been going up and up. I mean, we've had several announcements, haven't we? I mean, we had a trailer for his new film that comes out in January. We found out that he's going to be featuring again in Death to 2021, which they might have had to make some late edits to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all with the rom-com variant or whatever it's called coming out, you know, all that sort of stuff.
The rom-com. I love that, the rom-com variant. It's like,
mate, that's why they cast Hugh Grant. They were like, rom-com variant, let's get him in, mate. He's exactly. The perfect man for the job.
Oh, I hope there's a joke he makes about that. That would be class.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be incredible. I'd love that. But the... as well, one thing I love from this year, and probably one of my things I'm most excited for, is the announcement he's going to be in this Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Mm.
I know that obviously that will be coming out, goodness gracious, I think in 2023, which is obviously really sad.
Yeah.
But I think they said filming had wrapped on that already. And Hugh Grant's going to be in it, and I believe he's going to be the villain. I cannot tell you how excited I am for that film. I actually think it's going to be great. So I'm really excited about that. But there's one thing that happened in Hugh Grant's year this year, which we can't not speak about if we're talking about the podcast as well, is the ruling of I'm Still Here. Listeners of the podcast will know that we set out to watch every single film that Hugh Grant was in that was listed on IMDb. There's a film called I'm Still Here. Oscar, what did you think of I'm Still Here when you watched it?
It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. I mean, for listeners who haven't seen or listened to our episode, I'm Still Here is a mockumentary done by Joaquin Phoenix when he was, to be honest with you, off his rocker, basically.
Yeah.
He had this sort of strange period where he basically claimed he was going to retire from acting and become a rap star.
Mm.
Hugh Grant is listed in the credits despite not being in the film. And IMDb had it on his full credits list. So we took enormous offense to that and petitioned. We wrote a petition and it was the greatest ruling of this year.
Yeah, it was a huge moment for Hugh Grant and Hugh Grant fans everywhere. So let's take a listen to when Oscar and I found out the amazing, incredible news, and that what we had done had made such a huge difference. On Monday, May 24th, 2021, at 10:18 p.m, we sent an open letter to IMDb to have Hugh Grant's name removed from their credits of the 2010 film I'm Still Here. We can confirm that as of Wednesday, May 26th, 25 minutes past 6 in the evening, Hugh Grant was no longer listed as an actor on the film I'm Still Here.
This is, as you say, monumental. I mean, this is potentially the biggest piece of news of the year. You know, forget coronavirus, global warming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the rest of it. I mean, this is staggering stuff. And to play a part in this piece of history, and, you know, all the fans out there who've contributed to it, all six of them, it's beautiful.
It's quite incredible. You think of the six people that put themselves on the line there. We put a petition up, as we say, on the Monday, and six people, Oscar, let that sink in, six people signed the petition.
It's
quite incredible.
It is incredible. And you know, to be honest, I was surprised that IMDb changed it that quickly. I mean, we sent them, I mean, for a bit of context, we released our I'm Still Here episode on Tuesday, and we released the episode along with this open letter and a petition to remove Hugh Grant's name from the film, because if you've watched the movie, it's a joke. It's a complete joke.
Yeah,
Hugh Grant is in the credits of the film on IMDb, which we follow when we do this podcast, and he's not in the film.
He's not in the film.
He's literally a photo. There's a photo of him where they take the piss out of him for like 2 minutes. Mm. So we sent this open letter demanding change, and we've seen it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, the press hounded me this morning as soon as I came out of my house. They're all gathered out there because it's a big moment. So I gave them this statement. Let's have a listen.
Yesterday evening, it was brought to the attention of myself and Oscar at Taking You For Granted that IMDb responded to our open letter, not with words, but with action. Hugh Grant is no longer listed as an actor in I'm Still Here. This is a momentous moment for Hugh Grant and Hugh Grant fans everywhere. This incorrect IMDb credit could have been misleading moviegoers for over 10 years. That ends today. Oscar and I will continue to use Taking Hugh for Granted as a source for good, fighting for Hugh Grant causes, and indeed continue to fight injustices everywhere. No further questions, thank you.
I think that's a good thing that you point out there, Oscar, is the fact that they answered not with words. Well, I mean, we sent them an open letter, but they didn't even tell us. They just made the change. And I think that's really important. It was actions over words.
That statement was brilliant, Diggory. It kind of sounded a little bit like, you know, Notting Hill when Hugh opens the door for Julia Roberts and there's all the cameras outside. But I mean, yes. It sounded like you handled the obvious press attention around this story quite admirably there.
People have said to us that we should be Hugh Grant's lawyers. I think we've shown that. We've shown that we can get action done fast, and we've shown that we act within Hugh's best interest. But I think the main thing, and this is what we started this whole podcast on, this is what we start this whole community on, is people are taking Hugh for granted, and we want to stamp that out everywhere. And IMDb have been doing it potentially for 10 years. This film came out in 2010, 2011. This has been going on. This is 2021 and it's only just been changed. This has probably been the case for 10 years. That's abhorrent. That is, it's heinous. It's a heinous crime and it's wrong. And as I said in our statement, these injustices, yes, today is a victory for Hugh Grant and Hugh Grant fans everywhere, but we need to get to a position where these things don't happen at all. We need to live in a world where people don't take Hugh for granted. These mistakes keep happening. These people keep slipping up. People keep taking him for granted. And I want to live in a world, and we're working to the end, where we get this world where people don't do that. And I think today's and yesterday's ruling is very important to that end. Yes. I honestly still can't believe we did that. It felt like a huge moment in history. Do you know what I mean? You know, like the pulling down of the Berlin Wall, things like that. It just feels like in that vein. Do you know what I mean?
I completely agree with you. And it's something that we can take to Hugh and say, we did this, you know?
Yeah.
we had a tangible difference on his career.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm sure, yeah, more, you know, if you look at it, it will be more than a blip. It'd be a seismic shift. I'm sure that's why he's been offered, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, Death to 2021. I mean, that's why it's all flooding in back again, because they're like, oh, he wasn't in I'm Still Here. Brilliant. Well, let's get him back on board with all the good shit. Fantastic stuff. We also, obviously, as with every year, we got to wish our main man a big happy birthday, which was very good. He's 61 years old.
I remember another piece of news that happened this year is that someone changed his Wikipedia page. Do you remember?
Yeah. Yes, I do. That was they said he was like 63 or 64 or something, right?
Yeah. And you know what's crazy is that, like, you know, people say that you shouldn't take Wikipedia as a sort of, you know, reliable source. The amount of articles that go out about Hugh Grant, you know, there's probably like one a week in some sort of trashy tabloid. Yeah. And they were all getting his age wrong because clearly the reporter or the person writing just goes onto Wikipedia. Like, you know, I don't blame them. I would do that too. And, you know, Hugh Grant, 66. Like,
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, these guys know nothing. Meanwhile, if they'd listened to the podcast, they would have known that we wished him a 60th birthday last year. So they exactly. would have been able to work out his birthday from there. For goodness sake, that's so... I mean, luckily we didn't get it wrong. Imagine if we'd done that. Because I guess we would have been looking at Wikipedia when we were trying to work out when his birthday was. So we easily could have slipped up there.
True.
And in this year's episode, there was lots of chance for us to slip up because we put ourselves to the test. I don't know if you remember this, Oscar. We put ourselves to the test because we did a Hugh Grant themed quiz and it was lots of fun. And have a listen to it now. There's a few questions in there. We skipped through a bit of the quiz, but it was great fun. I would recommend everyone going and listening back to it and testing out yourself. See how good your Hugh Grant knowledge is, because even the quiz masters, as you're about to hear, even they got a bit confused about some of the answers, and even they were wrong. Question number one. Hugh Grant has appeared with Julia Roberts in ... Runaway Bride and Bridget Jones, Notting Hill and About a Boy, Love Actually and Notting Hill, Notting Hill Only.
I think it's Notting Hill Only, isn't it?
I think so, true. Runaway Bride, was he even in that shit?
I don't think so.
She definitely wasn't in About a Boy, and I'm pretty sure she wasn't in Love Actually. If she was, she was a minor part.
We're locking in D, Notting Hill.
Nice. Okay, perfect. Question number two. Hugh Grant has made two films with Emma Thompson. True or false? I think this is a trick question, this one.
You think it's one? You think it's none?
No. I think it's more than two.
When you say made, as in direct, like, starred in together, or what does that mean?
Oh, I think that's just starred in together. And we know that's...
Well, it's more of... Yeah.
It's like five or something like that,
It's like five. What have we got? We've got Sense and Sensibility, Love Actually.
Yeah. The what's the one? Remains of the Day,
yes. And there's a couple more.
There are some more.
Escaping me.
Yeah, exactly. But there's at least minimum five. False for that one. They're trying to get us there and they won't do it. This is mental. In one of his films, question three. In one of his films, he is given the nickname ... A, Flopsy. B, Floppy. C, Flip. Or D, Flappy. Jesus. That's hard.
Say them again.
Flopsy, Floppy, Flip, or Flappy.
I think it's either Flopsy or Floppy. I think Flopsy.
Do you reckon? Let's go.
I think he's given... Isn't he maybe given the nickname Flopsy in something like Notting Hill very briefly for his haircut?
Let's go with Flopsy. Because Floppy seems too obvious. Because we always call him... We say he's got floppy hair. But so let's go with Flopsy. That one's bloody hard, though. Don't just say in one of his films. Say which film as well. That would really help us out. And last question, 12. Which of these English films has Hugh not appeared in? Oh, this is a good question. A, The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain. B, Four Weddings and a Funeral. C, Morris. Or D, The Mother.
It is D, The Mother.
You're absolutely right. Now, I'm going to just quickly scroll back up. The one that's going to get us here is 3. In one of his films, he was given the nickname A, Flopsy. B, Floppy. C, Flip. Or D, Flappy. Now, if we get this wrong and you at home have got this right,
congratulations, because that is a hard one. I think we lock in Flopsy, though, don't we?
I think it is Flopsy, and I think it's from Notting Hill, but I may be wrong.
I think you're right, and I think that guy calls him it. The guy's going out with the woman in a wheelchair.
Hmm.
Okay. All right.
Big moment.
I click submit. Here we go. It's loading. No. 92%.
What happened?
11 out of 12, correct.
Damn.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm going to be sick. Oh, my word, Oscar. Question 3, can I just say, is completely correct. In one of his films, he was given the nickname Flopsy. They don't tell us which film, but well done to you, Oscar. So apparently, according to this quiz, we've got another one of them wrong. And I'm going to tell you which one we got wrong according to this bullshit quiz.
Is it number 2 of Emma Thompson?
It's number 2 with Emma Thompson. I don't believe it. They are wrong. They are wrong. You can hear me furiously typing. This is insane.
What have they said is the answer? 2.
They just said you answered false, correct answer true. Love Actually and Sense of Sensibility. They don't know what they're fucking talking about.
We should complain to this whoever made this quiz, Diggs.
Absurdtrivia.com. You're a bunch of jokers, a bunch of Flopsy clowns. I'm absolutely fuming. Right. The remains of the day. They also starred in Impromptu together.
Of course, Impromptu.
So we've got Love Actually, Sense and Sensibility, The Remains of the Day, Impromptu. I don't know why I feel like it's 5, but in my head it's 5. But it's definitely 4.
I think you're right, Diggs. It must be a fleeting in something else. What was it?
God, this quiz makes me sick. It says, here, report an error. I'll do this afterwards and I'll absolutely berate them.
I don't know if this counts. It probably doesn't count. But she's in Bridget Jones's Baby and Hugh is a photo. Hugh and Bridget Jones's Baby.
Of course. Isn't she she's the doctor?
Yes.
So they starred in 4.5 films together. but yes, there you go. I'm very annoyed about that. I was absolutely fuming at that. I was absolutely beside myself with anger. The idea that they would tell us that we didn't get full marks. The audacity and the cheek. I can't believe it. I was so fuming.
That was the low moment of the year for the pod, I think.
Yeah, when it looked like for a moment that we hadn't got it right. Oh, God, that was awful. Yeah, because imagine if we do this Hugh Grant podcast, we're like, oh, we know everything about Hugh Grant, and we don't get full marks in the Hugh Grant quiz.
Mm.
That would have been terrible. And you really did feel that. I loved that episode. It was great, great fun. But did you have any favourite episodes that we did besides that one or those ones?
Yeah, Diggs, there's been a lot of good episodes. And it's crazy that we've done, 29 episodes this year?
This will be number 29, yeah.
I got 3 favourites. Yeah, 3 favourites. One of them would be Privileged.
Yes.
That was absolutely amazing. Basically, we've been searching for several years for Hugh Grant's original first film, which was a film he did at Oxford University. And some saint put it on YouTube and we were able to review it. So that was pretty epic. I also really enjoyed Mickey Blue Eyes. But perhaps, Diggs, our joint favourite episode between us is our April Fool's episode, Colin, First Things First. Maybe you want to tell our audience a bit about that. I mean, they'll know all about it already, I'm sure, because many of them were duped.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the thing. It just felt as though... So we do this Hugh Grant podcast. We always have a little joke and a jape about how we hate Colin Firth. And I say it's a joke and a jape, but I actually do actively hate him. But obviously, we're always talking about this. But obviously, we've got Hugh Grant fans. We've got a lot of Colin Firth fans amongst us. So we thought April Fool's is coming around. We'll do a little special episode where it's almost an alternate universe where we haven't made Taking You For Granted, but instead we've made Colin Firth Things First. And we talk about and we review all the Colin Firth films out there. And listening back to it for this as well, I was like, you could just hear in our voice how much fun we're having.
Mm.
Like, just for a day, just for a bit, just pretending that Colin is the centre of our universe and not Hugh. It's just so much fun.
And I think, Diggs, I think we got 90% of people. I had texts from my godmothers, from even my mum. you know, being like, this is a great idea, can't wait. Like,
exactly.
And I just having to sort of let them down gently was actually quite heartbreaking.
This is the thing. I actually think it was really fun for us to do, but actually, I've said this before, I think we pissed off everyone, because essentially people like your mum and other people, like some of my friends, like they were like, oh, Colin Firth, brilliant, I'm so excited, he's got so many good films and I really can't wait to hear the podcast. And I was like, okay, they're not going to be very happy. And then Hugh Grant fans were like, what the hell are you doing? You're making a Colin Firth podcast. And I was like, well, they were annoyed that we would even joke about it. Mm. So unfortunately, I think everyone was left unhappy, and we were the April Fools there. But we had so much fun. So let's have a listen to a little clip of that, which hopefully you guys will find fun as well. I think what was so great and comforting about this film as well is Colin returns to the form we saw him in the previous two films. Both fantastic, great films in their own right. And I think we've talked as well before about how Bridget is a fantastic character, played so well by Renée Zellweger, so well. No one else could play that character. Well, maybe Colin Firth could play that character. He's so bloody good. Maybe you could. Well, that's for a different world and a different time, but that would be amazing. And I'm sure he'd pull it off because he's a great actor. But when this film starts, they're there at the funeral of... I think some character from the previous films.
I can't remember who it was.
It's some sort of reference to an LA film. I've got no idea. But at that funeral, Colin's there. Mark Darcy's there with his new wife.
Oh, Bridget.
Mark.
This is Camilla.
Hello.
Bridget, an old friend.
Well, less old, more childhood.
I have to say, I died a little bit inside to know that a character in... so good and so pure as Mark Darcy, and so wonderful and imperfectly imperfect as Bridget as well, about how life can just throw these curveballs at you. It really, really, really was a dagger in my back. And I was worried for the rest of the film, but luckily it really does pick up from there. And
Colin brings so much deep meaning to this film, doesn't he? Mm, you know, he really goes deep into the core of humanity.
Oh, absolutely.
You think about, like, you know, feminism, philosophy.
Yeah.
Colin really brings that, the script out, doesn't he? He really brings that kind of existential thought and process. You when you go to the cinema, you really want to dig deep into a film. And I think that Colin allows you to think about that, this film, in that way.
The gravity he brings to this role is really fantastic, and it is wonderful. I mean, for me, that gravity was really shown as well in that scene where they're at the christening and they reconnect and they see each other across the dance floor. And it's easy to see each other because there's children on the dance floor, so they're not really looking over their heads too much. And as we know, Colin is a very, very tall man. And they go upstairs, and it's this wonderful moment where, this is classic Colin, he fumbles with unbuttoning her dress, and he says,
how the fuck am I supposed to get in here?
Fantastic, wonderfully delivered. And they laugh, and they fall into the bed together. And from that moment, I mean, it was minutes into the film, bang, I'm back under Colin's spell.
Again? Mr. Darcy, wow.
Instantly in love.
That's it. And how he can play those two things at once, stoic, serious, but also...
loving and affectionate.
Charming and funny. And loving and affectionate.
Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
God, I've missed you.
And when they were lying in bed together in the morning and he had this plane to catch but he didn't go, I just thought, that's my Colin.
Are we on schedule?
That is my Colin. He's there, shirtless in bed. And I thought, that's the Colin. That's my Colin.
Well, you're listening to Colin Firth Things First, on the radio. Colin Firth Things First, oh, the podcast show.
We really threw the whole kitchen sink at that Colin Firth Things First episode, because as you just heard there, we even changed the music. I mean, we just had so much fun. We did a new picture for it. We did all the stuff. It was just,
the
it was great fun.
Was unbelievable, I have to say.
I mean, there's part of me that even thinks maybe potentially next year we do it all again. I mean, we don't do the same joke twice, but it was quite fun. Mm. And, you know, there is an alternate universe where we do Colin Firth Things First.
I think we got to come up with another April Fool's. Yeah,
I think so. All right, it's doable. We talked about favourite episode, but what about Hugh Grant films? Because I think this year, more so than last year, we watched loads of the classics last year. We're talking, we watched Paddington 2 for the first time last year. The Undoing came out last year. We watched, you know, you name it. We watched a lot of his classics last year. Whereas this year, we watched, I think, a lot of the lesser known films. Was there any that stuck out to you as your faves?
Well, first off, Diggs, there were a lot of bad films.
Well, maybe I'll ask the same question. What were some of the shit ones?
American Dreams was very bad. Small Time Crooks was very bad. Our Sons was very bad.
I liked Our Sons. I liked Our Sons. That was good. Hugh Grant's accent was a bit dodged, but it was good.
An Awfully Shite Adventure was very bad.
Well, listen, that was shite. That was bad. That was very bad.
Night Train to Venice was spectacularly bad.
That was shocking. If you had to pick one, if I pressed you to pick one.
That was the worst one, yeah.
I think that was the worst one. That was shocking. It was terrible. It was so, so bad.
Well, what were your favourites?
My favourite, it's really tough. Mickey Blue Eyes was really good fun. That blew me away. Pun intended, because that I just think you know, there, obviously, if you listen back to the episode, I do have some things to say about it, as I always do, because I'm a pretentious wanker. But I think it was really fun, and it was really different. I did like Sirens. That was a weird, sexy fest. That was great fun. I liked Privilege for what it was, because it was his like first film. It wasn't the best film in the world, but I liked the act of seeing his first film ever. So if you had to press me for what my favourite was, do you know what I'm going to say is Extreme Measures. That actually I thought was quite a fun film. It was a, you know, it was a psychological thriller. Hugh Grant as the main guy. Not like he was still brought fun to the role, but also it was quite serious at times. And it was like, it was a bit different. And it made you think a bit. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, I like that. And also Hugh Grant made it with Elizabeth Hurley, which I think is really cool for their film company, Simeon Films. So if you had to press me, I would say Extreme Measures. But what about you? What was your favourite?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say that look, there were some good ones. I agree with you. Mickey Blue Eyes was really good. I thought 9 Months was quite good fun, personally.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun.
I liked 9 Months. I also liked The Big Man, but I feel like The Big Man didn't feature Hugh that much, so no. I can't pick that one. You know what? I have a massive soft spot for The Man from U.N.C.L.E., personally. So I'm going to stick my neck out there and say The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And I just think that Hugh fits the Guy Ritchie mold so well. And that's why I think The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was great. I think The Gentleman was even better. And I'm hoping that Operation Fortune is going to be even better than those two. So it's got me very excited.
I really hope so. In a weird way, I think it's funny that you say that you think, you know, you enjoyed The Man from U.N.C.L.E., you enjoyed The Gentleman even more, and you're hoping Operation Fortune's the best. And I imagine that's because it probably will be in order of how much Hugh is in each film. Hugh wasn't in Man from U.N.C.L.E. much.
No.
He was in The Gentleman a bit more. And because he's the villain, he could well be in this one quite a lot, which would be absolutely delicious and delightful, and I'd love that.
Fingers
crossed. But what about your favourite Hugh Grant scene? Or is there a favourite Hugh Grant moment that we've seen this year that you want to talk about?
Diggs, I think it's got to be that scene from Mickey Blue Eyes, doesn't it?
It has to be. It has to be. I knew that's why I wanted to ask you this question, because I was like, we both know how good this scene is. Mickey Blue Eyes is a film about how Hugh Grant has met this girl. He wants to marry her. She doesn't want to marry him because she's a product of a mafia family. So if he joins the family, he essentially joins the mafia. And, well, hilarity ensues. Let's have a little listen. Hugh Grant has been spotted with Frank, and they're burying a body. And they've convinced two other mafia members from another mafia family who are also burying a body in the same place. They spot each other, and Frank passes Hugh off as not an Englishman, but as another member of the Italian mafia.
So, who's your friend?
That's Big Mickey from Kansas City.
Friend of ours.
I thought Big Mickey was dead.
The father, this is Little Big Mickey.
Wasn't there a Little Big Mickey out of Chicago?
Yeah, that's the original Little Big Mickey. This is Little Big Mickey Blue Eyes.
Oh, so you work for Tony Two-Tone.
would all be fine, but of course, for some reason or another, this group come together again, and Hugh now has to, he can't just nod along, Hugh now has to affect an accent and act like a real member of the Mafia. And this, perhaps, is the funniest Hugh Grant moment ever.
I was pissing myself laughing while watching this alone. If I'd been watching with you, I'm sure we would have been like, yeah. We would have been running up and down the staircases. It was that funny. I mean, Hugh Grant, let's be honest, he is the absolute antithesis of a New York Mafia guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Mickey Blue Eyes. And yeah. So basically, he's in the car with Frank, and Frank is like giving him a short lesson on how to be a Mafia guy, and he's saying,
Forget about it. And I'll change the T's to D's.
Forget about it.
Id?
Well, you said change the T's to the D's, for Christ's sake.
Not the last one.
What? All right, change the T's to the D's, but not the last one.
Forget about it. Stop. Try this one here. Get the hell out of here. No odds.
Get a heel out of here.
Not he. He.
He.
He.
He. Oh, my God. Hey, get out of here.
No, just forget about it.
Forget about it.
No, I mean, shut up. Please shut up.
Forget about it.
It's amazing. It goes down as one of his better accents. Obviously, up there with his Italian sort of accent from Impromptu, which is meant to be French, potentially Polish.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's up there. It's just, even though it's just so awful, and I love it so much. Yeah, that is such a great scene. Just watch it for that.
Yeah, if you don't watch the film, type in on YouTube Mickey Blue Eyes, Hugh Grant, and you'll find the scene. It is 2 or 3 minutes of comedy gold. It's and just, class. I think we should spare a minute as well for the name Mickey Blue Eyes. I think we should start calling Hugh Mickey Blue Eyes.
We should, that's so true.
Because he's called Michael in the film, so obviously Mickey. And then presumably they got the blue eyes from the fact he's got blue eyes.
He's got beautiful blue eyes.
Gleaming blue eyes. You know what's funny, Diggs, is I was watching Elf a couple of days ago, and James Caan, who plays the kind of godfather figure, and he is in The Godfather, in Mickey Blue Eyes, is the dad of Will Ferrell in Elf. So every time he turned up in Elf, I was just, my mind was going back to the scene in the car of Hugh doing his forget about it.
yeah. I also love what you say in that clip as well, where you're like, we should call Hugh Grant Mickey Blue Eyes more often, because he does have those beautiful blue eyes, and it's very true. Maybe we should start calling him Huey Blue Eyes.
Yes.
Maybe that's our nice little twist on it, and that's how we'll do it. Well, that's it. That wraps up 2021 for Hugh Grant and for us. Well, I should say Huey Blue Eyes and for us as well. Oscar, I think, firstly, I'd like to thank you for another wonderful year. It's been just so much fun, and I've loved it so much. It's been great.
It has been. And, you know, I feel like lesser podcasts may have given up by now. But
exactly.
I mean, it goes without saying that we have one more Hugh Grant film left.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were planning to watch it in person, but COVID has kind of scuppered those plans. We'll have to find another way of doing that. But even though we only have one film left in our catalog, that's not the end of the podcast. We've got plenty of plans for the next few months. And, you know, with all this new content coming out, I'm imagining that the fourth year of this podcast.
Wow.
Because we were started in 2019. So 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022 is going to be another great year for Hugh Grant and Taking You for Granted.
I'm sure it will be. And you know what? What that really is all down to
is you.
Is you at home. Guys, literally, the podcast would literally be nothing without you guys. So thank you so much, all of you, for listening. Even, you know, the future listeners in Alaska, if you're listening to this, thank you for listening. So the future, the past, the present, you know it. We really appreciate it.
Can you just imagine some guy, you know, I don't know, I'm just picturing some guy on a sort of side of a riverbank with a grizzly bear. He's got his AirPods in. He's just listening to us.
Yeah, exactly. What do they do in Alaska? Was he fishing?
Yeah, fishing.
Or just collecting snow.
Throwing axes. Now yeah. We're just stereotyping, feel bad.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, everyone. We hope you had a great 2021. We hope you have an even better 2022. We'll be there next year. You'll hopefully come and join us. There'll be so much more Hugh Grant stuff to talk about. And we'll be there every step of the way. Guys, thank you so much. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy new year.
Hey.
Bye.
Taking Hugh for Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.